The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Fionn Davenport is with me, the travel journalist, the Lonely Planet author and the prolific golfer. I mean, don't let him talk to you about Portrush over the next few days if you see him. He'll talk about this feathery draw that he hit on a...
Feathery cut.
Oh, was it a cut?
A
feathery cut.
Yeah, it's a buttery draw and a feathery
cut.
Oh,
what have I done? I've allowed him to do it on national radio. Stop. Where are we talking about this week?
We're going to talk about a city that makes visiting Dublin or going out in Dublin feel relatively affordable.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Geneva.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never been.
Geneva's a beautiful, beautiful city there on the corner of Lac Leman or Lake Geneva in southwestern Switzerland, right on the border with France. Interestingly enough, Geneva Airport, the end of one runway is actually in France.
That's all right, okay.
So the idea,
at the end of Weston Airport, parts of it in Kildare.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live not far from Weston Airport. And in fact, there's a wonderful cafe at Weston Airport that has like all Art Deco design.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
Really, really nice.
Gorgeous.
I have to say it. It's lovely.
Yeah. Really good food. Anyway, by the by. So Geneva and it is a ridiculously expensive city. I mean, this, what is it? It's the place of international diplomacy. So it's got something like 200 odd international and non-governmental organizations, so NGOs.
Yeah.
200 of them. Like the UN, the World Trade Organization, the WHO, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the World Bank. And
all of that makes me kind of think that Geneva, beyond the beautiful picture postcard thing of the lake and the fountain, that it's a bit kind of soulless.
No.
All right, okay.
No, it's austere in the
kind
sense...
Kind of like the IFSC, but with a nice lake in front of it.
That's what I always
thought.
No. What it is that the presence of so many international people, like residents who are from, means that it has like unbelievably expensive hotels, incredibly good restaurants. It's an incredibly expensive city to live in. It's an incredibly expensive city to visit if you're not careful. It's a really beautiful city. It's a, like a kind of a 17th century, the central core of it.
Yeah.
It's very elegant. It's very, very discreet almost. And it has, so there's like, there's a Calvinist air to it. And Calvinism is central to understanding how Geneva ticks, what makes Geneva tick. So part of the Calvinist Reformation was that...
People at home couldn't appreciate the little grin you gave yourself there. With a clock joke. But go on anyway.
So the Calvinist part, like elements of the Calvinist Reformation was in the 17th century... and into the 18th century is that all expressions of joyfulness were banned. So people couldn't wear bright colours, dancing was banned, jewellery was banned, everything was forsaken to maintain a kind of a demure observance of faith. But the Calvinists weren't idiots either. You know, these knew we're going to have to do something. So jewellery, so people says, let them make watches. And that's where the Swiss watchmaking tradition was born out of. This sense of like, they can't wear jewelry or they can't wear lots of gold, but they can make beautiful timepieces.
Okay, because it's functional. It's not just decorative.
It's not decorative.
This watch is functional.
Yeah.
Okay, so that channels all their creative energies then into...
Yeah. And so what they did is at one point, the entire city was given over to watchmaking. And what happened was I went to the Patek Philippe.
If you really want
to know how like the 1% live, the Patek Philippe, where it's like I'd need to like sell my house and still borrow some money to buy one, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
But like, you know, beautiful watches that were made for everybody, from including Marie Antoinette and then, you know, the world's richest people. But what was interesting is that the story is told that at one point the water from the lake was funneled to work the lathes or whatever it is, like for this precision watchmaking. And is that their absolute precision and timekeeping meant that everybody started work and finished work at exactly the same time. These are very observant people. But what happened was, is that there was a, when they turned it on one day, there was a buildup of water pressure because so many, is that it blew. And so, you know, that big fountain that blows, that's where it comes from. Yeah. It, one of the water mains blew and it just shot this water main right up into the middle of the city. So what they did is they thought, well, at first they were like horrified. And then they thought, you know what, this is actually kind of cool. So what they did is they tapped it, but then moved it further down the waterfront. So now it's become a feature of the city.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Are there direct flights from Dublin to Geneva?
Aer Lingus will fly there for as little as 40 quid, which is the cheapest thing you'll do. Okay.
So you mentioned, say, the Patek Philippe. You went to that factory shop museum. What else is there to do?
Yeah, so the interestingly enough is that I kind of like this stuff. So Calvin's influence on Geneva and Swiss Protestantism in general is told in the Musée International de la Réforme, so the International Museum of the Reformation, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's really, really interesting. So you have to see this as kind of like Reformation Rome.
Mm.
So Geneva was as important to the Reformed Church as Rome is to the Catholic Church.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it really is. And so, like you can go to the church where Calvin used to deliver his pulpits, but in the museum, they tell the entire history. And it's done from a sociological point of view, so it's not just the religious perspective. So you can see how religious observation, religious decision and religious belief informed society and economics and all of it. And so you can see, okay, this is what makes Switzerland the way Switzerland is, particularly in this side of the city. Also, as well as in the church, you can climb up the church tower and you can see how beautifully positioned Geneva is. So you can see the Jura Mountains, the Alps, the lake, everything. It's like, honest to God, it's just like if you were to pick a city to escape to live, like Geneva would be.
And because of all of that, there's probably lots of nice things to do to escape the city for a day if you want it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For example, you can go out to the city and there's a suburb called Carouge. And so it's got like really beautiful 18th century houses with like courtyard gardens, ceramic studios and things like that. It's very, very elegant. And so there's like, and it's lovely in wintertime when it all kind of does up for Christmas. I find Geneva a really wonderful city to explore. It's also a very kind of quiet city at night. Like it goes to sleep relatively early. Well, everyone has to get up to make watches. So, you know.
Exactly. They do. And they got to be on time. You've told us that already.
And they got to be on time. So you can eat really, really well. I will tell you though that, I mean, there are places to eat that aren't going to like bust the bank. But even like I went to one night I was there and I just went to an ordinary pizza restaurant and I got no change out of 40 euro.
For just a pizza and a beer
just
or something.
Like pizza and a Coke.
Oh, pizza and a Coke.
40 quid. You know what I mean? It's like, and you're like, okay, there's nothing special about this pizza. And I was like, it's like a Domino's.
Yeah.
But 40 quid. But the thing is that as I was talking to someone in work and I was saying, I was talking about Geneva. It's like, but if you went out for a meal in Dublin, like you wouldn't get much change out of 100 quid, you know, between like two courses and a.
Yeah, but if you went to, if you said it was your bog standard pizzeria kind of type
place,
I mean, you're not going to pay 40 quid for a pizza in Milano's.
No, you're not. But you can eat very, very well. And part of that is 200 NGOs and all of the staffing and all the rest of it and all the diplomacy means that these people like, you know, they have like gastronomic tastes. And so this is a city that kind of will fulfill that.
We have a lot of discerning listeners with impressive gastronomic tastes and a load of money to burn. So give us a few restaurant recommendations.
Okay, so I'm going to say Osteria La Bottega. I'm a devil for always querying Italian restaurants, being half Italian. This is one of the best places I've ever eaten in. It's Bib Gourmand, but it's the only time I've seen kind of new modern cuisine nouvelle or nouvelle cuisine on Italian food.
Okay.
Like deconstructed Italian food.
Right.
But absolutely exceptional. If you really want, there's a place called Buvette des Bains, which is brilliant for, they do student fare, but like workers all go here to this. It's like a cafeteria style, but the food is really, really good. And then you got to go, like you're in Switzerland, you got to buy some chocolate. Master Chocolatier Philippe Pasquet is in Carouge, and you can get like bespoke handmade chocolates. Best you'll ever eat.
They don't eat Toblerones there, no?
They do. I mean, Toblerone is Swiss, isn't
yeah.
it? Isn't that Nestle?
Yeah, but I wonder, did they look down their nose at it? You yeah. know, that's the kind of the one that the tourists eat.
Well, it's a bit like...
Would you show yourself up if you went into a shop and asked for Toblerone?
Ask for Toblerone.
Yeah, exactly.
But can I get
it's like asking
really
for the wrong
one.
Coffee in Rome. You know?
Asking for what?
The wrong coffee in Rome, you know, the wrong, or like well, asking like, for a cappuccino
no,
at the wrong
like
time of day.
Wandering around Rome and going, sorry, where's McDonald's? I don't know. But like, maybe, yeah. I don't know. But like,
but
sure.
Philippe Pasquale, ask Philippe for the local
Pasquale,
Philippe.
With a little, there's the umlaut over the O, so I don't know how that pronounces.
And where to stay? Good recommendations?
Yeah, so I stayed in this really small, lovely three-room B&B called Le Jour et la Nuit, the night and day. Now, if I had my money no object, I'd stay in the Four Seasons Hotel de Berg.
Okay. Oh, but money no object.
You're kidding me. I walked in there just to have a look yeah. around and I felt like 800 quid just drain out of my pocket.
It's where the next season of White Lotus is going to be filmed or something.
Something
like that.
Like that.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. But
yeah.
listen, it's a beautiful... Also, you're within touching distance of like major ski destinations. So if you go in winter, you can go to Morzine, you can go to... like. Geneva's brilliant for that. Yeah. So,
so really, if you've got no money to burn and to add on to your ski
as
holiday, you want a city
start.
Break,
yeah.
go to Geneva.
Geneva is not a city for the faint-hearted.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, there's 102 grand in the cash machine. Anyway, we'll remind you how to enter tomorrow. Fionn Davenport, travel journalist, Lonely Planet author. Fionn, thank you as always. We'll talk to you at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.